He knew full well that George Shepherd had funded the construction of the jailhouse with Harold Nielsen's commission on Crosby Wells' estate. But he had vowed to keep the secret at the Council of the Crown Hotel, and he did not like to break his promises.
"Private investment, you said?"
Lauderback persisted.
"Listen," said Balfour, "I don't want to break any oaths. I don't want to tread on any toes. But I will say this. If you stop in at Sea View, you ought to sniff around a bit. That's all I'm saying. Sniff around, and you might come up with something."
"Is that why you're heading home early?"
Lauderback demanded.
"To avoid Shepherd? Is this something between the two of you?"
"No," Balfour said. "No, no. I was tipped off, that's all."
"Tipped off? By whom?"
"I can't say."
"Come on, Tom, don't get proud on me."
"What did you mean by that?" Balfour thought for a moment, squinting over the valley floor towards the rumpled slopes in the east. His horse was slightly shorter than Lauderback's black mare, and, because he was a shorter man than Lauderback, his shoulders were a clear foot below the other man's, even when he squared them, which he did now.
"It's just common sense, isn't it?" he said. 20 navvies on the foundation at once. All the materials paid up in cash. That's not the way that council funding gets paid out. You know that yourself. Shepherd must be dealing ready money."
"Which one is it?" said Lauderback. "Common sense or a tip-off?"
"Common sense."
"So you weren't tipped off?"
"Yes, I was," Balfour said hotly. "But I might just as well have figured it out." "That's what I'm saying. I might just as well have figured it out on me own."
"So what was the point in it?"
"In what?"
"Tipping you off."
Balfour was scowling.
"I don't know what you're saying," he said. "You're not making any sense."
But Lauderback was making perfect sense, and Balfour knew it.
"What doesn't make sense, Tom," he said, "is that you're the one tipped off about a jailhouse. What does Balfour Shipping care about public funding and how it's spent? What do you care about a private investment, unless it's wrapped up in something else?"
Balfour shook his head.
"You've got me wrong," he said.
"Something to do with one of the felons, maybe," Lauderback said. "A private investment in exchange for..."
"No, no," Balfour said. "Nothing like that."
"What then?"
When Balfour did not immediately respond, Lauderback added,
"Listen, if it has to do with private funding, that's a campaign matter, and I need to know. Anything that gets rushed over the commissioner's desk right before an election is worth looking at. And clearly this man Shepherd is rushing something. Looks to me as though he's got political designs, and I want to know what they are. If it's all a matter of common sense, then why don't you just tell me what you know, and if anyone asks me, I'll pretend I worked it out on me own."
This seemed reasonable enough to Balfour. His affection for Lauderback had not dissolved altogether over the course of the last month, and he wanted to remain in the politician's good opinion, despite any new opinions he might have developed in his turn. It could not hurt to tell him where Shepherd's money was coming from. Not if Lauderback could pretend to have worked it out on his own. Balfour was pleased also by the sudden sharpness of Lauderback's expression and the eagerness with which the older man was pressing him for news. He disliked it when Lauderback was broody, and this sudden change in the politician's humour put Balfour in mind of the old Lauderback, the Lauderback of Dunedin days, who spoke like a general and walked like a king, who made his fortune and then doubled it, who rubbed shoulders with the Premier, who would never dare to beg a man to stay on one extra night in Coomara so that he would not have to take his sorrows to the gambling house alone. Balfour was sympathetic to this old Lauderback, of whom he was still very fond, and it flattered him to be begged for news. And so, after a long pause, Balfour told his old acquaintance what he knew about the jailhouse: that the construction had been funded by a cut of the fortune discovered in Crosby Wells' cottage. He did not say why or how this arrangement had come about, and he did not say who had tipped him off about the situation. He did say that the investment had occurred at George Shepherd's instigation, 2 weeks after Crosbie Wells' death, and that the jailer was very anxious to keep it quiet. But Lauderback's legal training had not been for nothing. He was a canny inquisitor, and never more than when he knew that he was being told a partial truth. He asked the value of the cut, and Balfour replied that the investment totaled a little over £400. Lauderback was quick to ask the reason why the investment comprised 10% of the total value discovered in the cottage, and when Balfour remained silent, he guessed, with even more alarming quickness, that 10% was the standard rate of commission, and perhaps this investment represented the commission merchant's fee. Balfour was appalled that Lauderback had figured this out so quickly, and protested that it wasn't Harold Nielsen's fault. Lauderback laughed.
He consented! He gave his commission away!
Shepherd had him in a corner.
He's not to blame.
It was an inch short of blackmail, the way it played out, really.
You oughtn't make a meal of it.
You oughtn't, for Mr. Nielsen's sake. A private investment upon the 11th hour,
Lauderback exclaimed. He was not particularly interested in Harold Nielsen, whom he had met only once at the Star Hotel in Hokitika over a month ago. Nielsen had struck him as a very provincial type, rather too accustomed to a loyal audience of 3 or 4, and rather too garrulous when drinking. Lauderback had written him off as a bore who was self-satisfied and would never amount to anything at all. He stood up on his stirrups.
"This is politics, Tom. Oh, this is politics, all right. Do you know what Shepherd's trying to do? He's trying to get the jailhouse underway before Westland gets her seat, and he's using a private investment to spur the enterprise along. Ho, ho! I shall have something to say about this in the Times, rest assured."
But Balfour was not particularly assured by this, nor did he feel inclined to rest. He protested, and after a short negotiation, Lauderback agreed to leave Nielsen's name out of it.
"Though I shan't spare George Shepherd the same courtesy," he added, and laughed again.
"I take it you don't fancy him as magistrate," Balfour said, wondering whether Lauderback had designs upon that eminent position himself.
"I don't give two shakes about the magistrate's seat," Lauderback returned. "It's the principle of the thing. That's what I shall stand upon."
"Where's the principle?" Balfour said, with momentary confusion.
Lauderback did care about the magistrate's seat. He'd begun by mentioning it, and in a very surly humour at that.
"The man's a thief," Lauderback cried. "That money belongs to Crosbie Wells, dead or alive. George Shepherd hasn't..."